From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
Meow, 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 meow.
Swine flu.
Swine flu. I'm Storm.
And we're going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. Today, honestly, I'm not sure. Monday, April 20th, 2009.
Try the 27th, maybe.
Oh, well, we missed last week's podcast, so it is both the 20th and the 27th.
Yes, this is show 037. Run down the big board real quick.
All right, 159 minions in the Paul and Storm Brigade of Minions. 1.3 on the Whedon Watch Richter scale.
Woot.
0.3 on the McCartney Watch Richter scale. Poochie Corner, in which we discuss people discussing us. I'm going with they did a press release for PAX, the Penny Arcade conference.
Mm-hmm. Expo.
Expo, excuse me. It is not a conference.
That's the X in PAX.
Yeah, well, if you contract all the letters of conference together, you would get an X.
That's right.
Anyway, some good word out there. Go to paulandstorm.com.
It can now be said. We've had to keep it secret for a little while. But yes, we are going to be at PAX this year.
It's
we apologize to our
secret.
Many Dragon Con friends. We had a great time at Dragon Con. We just have to try the West Coast this year. And see what the gamer geeks have in store for us. And
yeah,
we really did genuinely try to figure out a way to do both, and it just wasn't going to be logistically feasible, no matter how we sliced it.
It would have involved like a zeppelin and I think,
time machine.
Yep, an interconnected series of canals that don't exist,
and an army of marmosets.
Yeah, which I was excited about, but
down with the marmoset army was cool, but we also would have had to pay to feed them for the whole weekend.
Yeah,
and that's where it fell apart.
Yeah, it was sort of coordinating all the things at once. So, I'm sure we'll see a bunch of you out in Seattle in August.
Yes. So, so swine flu is swirling about, and everybody is panicking, as is the usual way of these things.
I have to confess, I ordered masks yesterday.
Did you really?
Yeah, we did. And I'll tell you why.
Tell me why.
One, I'm very susceptible to any type of, pulmonary...
Like a lungy?
Yeah, like I used to get
you're
bronchitis.
You're a lunger? Just like they say in Tombstone of Doc Holliday?
That's right. I have the dropsy. it's not
you got
that
cold
bad.
Foot.
But like by the time they say, okay, you know, we're recommending people go out with masks, you know, it'll be too late to buy them.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife is also, she has a, you know, not horribly, but somewhat compromised immune system thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they talk about people who are in that category, she's one of them.
Uh-huh.
So figured better safe than sorry. And they look kind of cool. Like we didn't want to be in a position where we had to get masks and all that was left were the really dorky looking ones.
Yeah. You don't want to get caught up short with the uncool masks. I actually ordered some masks, but only after I placed the order did I realize that they were robber style eye masks.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So now I'm all set. All I need is a striped shirt and I can pull off many robberies.
Or did you get the Mork from Ork version that had like the rainbow strap that holds them on?
Yes.
I had a pair of those suspenders, by the way.
Yeah.
And they actually had like, if you ever saw Mork and Mindy, he had these rainbow suspenders that had...
I had the very same suspenders.
Yep. Now, Mork's actual suspenders had like buttons and stuff before they had flair at TGI Fridays.
Yep. There was like a pointy finger.
Yep.
And a smiley face.
And the suspenders were epic in that they didn't have the buttons on there, probably because it would be unsafe and they'd break. So there were these plastic slidey things.
Yeah, yeah. We had the same exact Mork from Ork slidey, plasticky rainbow suspenders. What does that say about us? We're destined to be in a group together.
And 4% gay goes back to that.
No, there's no gay in Mork.
I know, but the whole rainbow thing, I guess it was before...
That's like, 58% geek.
Yeah, it's entirely geek.
Yeah.
Speaking of geek, I have a few Jeopardy-style titles for some of the many things that we could or could not talk about.
Okay.
One of which is Freaks and Geeks.
Mm-hmm.
It is not the TV show, sadly. Jurassic Spark, Froggy Goes A-Courtin', and Paul and Storm Recommend.
Let us go... Because I know where you're going with it, with Froggy Goes A-Courtin'.
Yes. This, of course, refers to our latest Song Foo entry, in which our entry was Frogger the Musical. Now,
technically, it was Frogger! Exclamation point, the Frogger Musical.
Now, I completely lost my train of thought. I'm so excited about this one. This one, that's what it was. We have an expression, we may have used it on the podcast, and it's actually, it started with our old band. It's called All Hail You.
Yes, which, I believe we have discussed this on the podcast, but a brief review for those who may have missed it.
In case we haven't, it refers to when one of us, or sometimes both of us together, do something very awesome that helps the common good, that we will praise the other one with the expression, All Hail You. You know, just the you did a really good one there. Hit it out of the ballpark.
Yep. To paraphrase Patton Oswalt, who I was listening to again this weekend. It's the Paul and Storm equivalent of remember when you were in like first grade and you would get that sticker that was a bunch of grapes and it said grape job and you'd scratch it and it smelled like grapes.
Yep. Oh, I used to love those stickers.
Yep.
Oh, man, now I'm remembering the Cinnamon Toast sticker.
We never had the Cinnamon Toast sticker. We just had the fruity ones.
Actually, I think I made that up. They were always like bubblegum and strawberry and these...
Yeah, cherry and lemon and
like
strawberry.
What the candy flavors they had managed to make into
the same flavors they made the markers in.
Yeah, but they did have like butter and some other ones like that.
No, they didn't.
Anyway,
all hail you.
I'm saying to you, Paul, all hail you.
Why? Thank you
for Yes, we discussed the song a little bit beforehand, but this really was you really ran with this and smashed it. So
again, as we may have discussed in the past, a little sort of peek behind the Paul and Storm curtain. I mean, there are plenty of songs where it's a genuine. Like both of us effort from start to finish. Like I think Liv, you came up with the guitar, the feel and the lick and all that for Liv. But if I remember correctly, I think the lyrics and the development of the music was very much a joint effort.
Yeah.
Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah, I had, I believe I had a number of like melody and arc modules, and then you had some things, and then it kind of mixed up.
And like that was one where it just sort of, we combined our foo into Mecha Shiva and made the two-headed monster that wrote that song. This one, occasionally, one of us, something will just sort of come into our heads. If not fully formed, then certainly there's a big lump of clay that's no longer quite a lump and is starting to approach something. And this was one of those deals. I could not tell you where the spark of inspiration came from. It just sort of, my love of musicals, I guess, if nothing else.
And to back up.
I think that's what made this one stand out in my head. We had the job to write a song that had at least three distinct parts, sort of made up of at least three individual songs, but fit together in a cohesive whole. And somehow Frogger came up and realizing that it's sort of its own mini narrative of you have to cross the road and there's a little bank in the between and then you have to cross a river and there's occasionally female frogs on the river. And it just sort of, hey, wow, this is a narrative, and it's sort of like a musical. And so my goal, the way I was approaching the song was to try and both get along the narrative of the game and make it interesting, but also sort of mock the tropes of shitty musicals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's sort of what I was going for. Plus, I had for the ending song, well, I guess we'll put this at the end of this podcast. Why not? This may be a double shot. I'll get to that in a second. Mm-hmm. But like the third section, really, I had that the ending repeating thing. I'd had that in my brain. I don't know how long, not with those words, but just sort of that feel. It's sort of.
Well, you mentioned that you were going for we've played them before, the band Jukebox the Ghost.
Yes.
They have this really fun song that is epic and it has. Apocalyptic and has yeah. this great ending where it sort of goes on, and the lyric, the main thrust of it is we survived yes. this great Holocaust.
Yes, that's true. And so that was one touchstone. And the rest, like for example, the ballad center section. Well, no, I'm sorry. Let me rewind. The first section, the part about crossing the road, I have as much as admitted this to him. I was trying to imitate our friend Brendan Milburn yeah. from the band Groove Lily. Yeah. They have done a number of musicals, as in composed and performed. And the whole first section is basically me trying to imitate Brendan, mm-hmm. both musically and vocally. And then the center section, I was trying, again, to write a song that was a little bit shitty, but also really catchy. Like the mm-hmm. lyrics are intentionally sort of banal and kind of inept and sort of repetitive, yeah. like every terrible pop Broadway love ballad is.
Yep.
And I was trying to walk that line. I don't know if we've achieved it or not, but nonetheless, there it is. But
so.
I will also all hail you because you totally brought the rockin' guitar in the third section. This is your second time thoroughly rocking guitar wise your first time in public.
I'm really liking the electric. I bought it a couple of years ago, and I've sort of been pecking at it, and may have discussed with the guitar before. It's like you reach these breakthroughs and plateaus, like mm-hmm. suddenly you can do things like in the Matrix, you know, I know kung fu. And when I was listening, like, Paul, you sent me drafts as they were going on, which was getting me very excited. Mm. And it was very easy. You know, it was very clear what you had in mind. And we had talked about sort of that Jukebox the Ghost song. And
sort of a Brian May-ish.
Yeah, Brian May, a little bit.
Crossed
of,
with Sticks, crossed with Speedwagon.
Lover Boy, and more REO Speedwagon. I don't have the licks or talent level at this point to really yeah. pull it off, but still, it was to good effect.
And now we're going to crawl out of my ass and now up into your ass. This is a very introspective podcast. We're not going to talk about much beyond ourselves. So that's...
Well, we have some goodness for them.
We have some goodness for them. But nonetheless, I'm feeling this is one's mostly about us. And that's fine because it's our fucking podcast. Anyway, I want to crawl up your ass now because I, again, return the all hail you regarding our next newest song slash video.
Yeah.
Which, if all has gone the way we expect it to, is up on the website now. Storm, you take it from here. Explain.
Okay.
Tell where it came from.
Well, we'll see
Describe.
If it's an all hail you. It could be that you and I and the other people who have seen it are just off their rockers and that it completely sucks. Like, the Frogger exclamation point, the musical, you know, we've already put it out there and it's been getting great feedback.
Yes.
But like anything, even if we feel like something is the best thing we've ever done and we felt good about Frogger, mm-hmm. There's always that, people are probably just going to, if not hate it, just sort of shrug.
Yeah. Nobody loves Frogger like we do. And everybody under the age of 23 has never even played the game. Money, money, man.
Yep. So right now.
That was the sound of my head earlier this week.
The many, many, man.
Just that whole rant there.
Yeah. Oh, the 10-minute mark was 4 minutes
about four
ago.
And a half minutes ago.
So anyway, yeah, the new song and video, it's called Here Come the Dinosaurs. And I remember when and how it became to be in this world. Mm-hmm. I can't explain why.
Nor should you.
I can't. We were in Ann Arbor. And we were doing a sound check. And sound check, you know, it can be not tedious, but you're just sort of hanging out and going through the paces. It's not very interesting. And oftentimes you've just done a 3-hour drive. Maybe you're on short sleep. Maybe you haven't eaten. All of these things were probably in play. And I just started playing these two chords together that just sort of sounded spooky and eerie. And I don't know.
I thought you were covering an existing grunge style song.
Yeah. And that's the thing about a good lick or a pop song or a hit song, not saying that this is that, but something that resonates, you feel like you've heard it before.
Yep.
And I did rack my brain to try to think, did I completely rip this off from someone else? And I don't think so. And I just started singing this lyric. I mean, not much of a lyric, but it just sort of sounded like you should sing Here Come the Dinosaurs to it. sort of a menacing thing, but that's sort of silly.
Yep.
And really within an hour, this whole world had built up in my head around it, that just by itself, the song would just be a curiosity and very strange. And not that the video would really explain the song.
Yep.
But at least it's, I don't know, it's not poetry, but in the same way that poetry can elicit or...
It's lyrical pointillism.
Well, it defines a feeling or something that doesn't have a word, a single word to describe it.
Right.
It's not about fear.
It's Koyaanisqatsi.
It's what?
Nothing. It's Koyaanisqatsi, which is actually life out of balance, but I was just trying to be a wise ass.
Oh, no, you can be a wise ass. I think that's the leading candidate for the title of the podcast here. Anyway, so I've been working on my Flash skills as well, in this case, just animation. Thanks again to Mike Spiff Booth for his technical assistance in that department.
That's Spiff.
And Paul, you had some very handy props in the form of plastic dinosaurs.
I did.
And I have a cat who I believe if this video is successful, he is going to be the reason why.
He's going to be a bigger star than either of us.
Yeah, like if this were to become a breakout thing, he would be the takeaway. Like the song, all right, fine. The video of the dinosaurs, fine. You know, the Flash video, whatever. The cat, that's where it's at. And that brings me to a discussion point, a jumping off point.
Sure.
I'm just so certain that, and it's Reinhold. We have two cats. This one is Reinhold. Why are cats so big on the internet? Of course, I have a theory. You folks out there, this may be a write-in audience participation, but right now I'm throwing it to you, Paul.
'Cause the people who are on the internet are smarter than the average person.
Okay.
And smarter people in general, certainly not as a hard, fast rule, seem to like cats because...
So dog people are dumb.
Yes. Actually, let me refine this a little bit. Because cats, much like most people on the internet, are slightly aloof.
Yeah.
Tend to be solitary and poop in a box.
I poop in a box. I do.
Don't we all?
Well, my toilet is square.
Yeah.
That's the next big thing. That's actually a part of my theory as well. So I think it must be true if we both come to that. And sort of, I won't say either you can say introverted, you can say introspective, but those are also characteristics of folks who would be into, for lack of a better term, internet culture.
Right.
But I have another factor which I think is just as important.
What's that?
And another reason why dog videos just usually aren't interesting. I think a big part of the puzzle is that dogs, you pretty much know what they're going to do. You can teach a dog to do a trick. The dog does a trick. So fucking what, right?
Yep.
Or yeah, every once in a while there might be a blooper with a dog. But cats, you don't know what they're going to do.
It's true.
So but you know they can do something that's very hysterical. So it's sort of that,
yep.
It's that mystery box. And yep.
I will expand further upon the theory.
Okay.
With something that has just occurred to me also. Now we're ignoring like cute kitten videos.
Right. Right.
But
puppies
just as likewise we should ignore cute puppy videos because right. those have a similar appeal, but this is not what we're talking about. We're talking about cat videos.
Right.
I would contend that most, the popular cat videos are things where cats are doing something funny
yep.
and incongruous because cats have an inherent dignity and pride.
Yeah.
And just like good comedy, when you take somebody who is highfalutin mm-hmm. and prideful and yeah. dignified, and you make them do something undignified and embarrassing, it's comedy. E.g., you take a sloppy street urchin and make them slip on a banana peel,
yep.
not funny. Take a dude in a tux, make him slip on a banana peel, hilarious.
I think we have our next video.
Cats in tuxes slipping on banana peels?
No, I was thinking street urchin fall down theater. Just to try to disprove it, to say
sure,
that
sure.
We'll make it happen.
That's right. We'll be like the Mythbusters.
So to kind of bring it all around, yeah, mm-hmm. that would be just like the Mythbusters. I challenge Adam and Jamie to do something with street urchins, laying down that gauntlet right now.
Right.
But anyway, whether or not we also include Here Come the Dinosaurs as an audio track, know that you really should go to our website or on the YouTubes and see the video because you might get more out of it.
Yeah, this is really a multimedia podcast here.
Though by itself, I don't know, I do find it caught in my head.
I wholeheartedly agree. Whether or not the public loves it, I feel like we're recording a DVD commentary because they usually record those before the movie has even come out. So
yeah.
Everybody's got that sort of sense of hopefulness.
Yeah. Yeah.
I personally am delighted by the video and have watched it repeatedly, and it has not gotten old for me. And if the public doesn't like it, they can soak their collective heads.
Yeah, they can suck it. I'm happy with what we've produced here.
So anyway, on the off chance that we do not put the audio from these two songs on the end of this podcast, go to paulandstorman.com. And check out both the video for Here Come the Dinosaurs and the audio for Frogger the Frogger musical. Let us segue briefly,
yes.
because this thing is kind of long like we expected it would be,
yep.
to Paul and Storm recommend, because
yes.
I'm hoping you're going where I'm hoping you're going.
Oh, I sure am. enough about us. This is all about poutine.
Poutine.
Now, in case you don't know, poutine is a Canadian, in particular, it came from Quebec.
Mm-hmm.
It is a French fry dish.
Québécois.
It's a French fry dish much in the way that, I don't know, pepperoni is or pizza is, screw it. It's really good.
Yeah. You know what it is?
What's that?
I realized what it is. It's the Canadian version of the KFC famous bowl.
That's a very good a liking to, or it's almost also you could call it like a French fry nacho.
Mm-hmm.
To be more specific on what it actually is.
Yes.
They take French fries, the betterer the better, mm-hmm. Usually the square cut, thick, crispy on the outside,
yep.
nice and soft on the inside.
Yep.
They put fresh cheese curds on it. Now, if you don't know what cheese curds are, it's...
Which, to be honest, I still don't really know what cheese curds are.
Well, I actually looked into cheese making, and it's...
Because you are a cheesemonger?
I am a cheesemonger.
Or you wish to be a cheesemonger.
I want to be. We have a cellar, and if you have a cellar, you can make cheese.
Uh-huh.
And I intend to at some point, but the key is super fresh cream. Like, if it comes straight from the cow, that's the best. Because
mm-hmm.
chemically, things happen to milk as it ages. And you add rennet to the fresh cream.
What the hell is rennet?
I don't know where it comes from, but it has a chemical that causes the curds and the whey to separate. These are
uh-huh.
two components of the milk. One is
right.
liquid, one is solid. The whey is the liquid. I hope this isn't boring. So
I'm interested.
Okay, so you add the rennet and you stir it around, and it separates into the whey, the liquid, which is drawn off and can be used to make other things. And then you're left with the curds. Now, the curds are, in their raw state, what will go on to be processed into various types of cheeses.
Mm-hmm.
So curds are basically proto-cheese.
That's another front runner for name of this podcast.
Proto-cheese?
Yeah.
And I guess technically it is a cheese. Like,
yeah.
From the curd.
But it's like raw cheese. It's like the uncut diamond of cheese.
I like that. That's exactly what it is. Now, I won't go into the rest of the cheese-making process, though it fascinates me.
Mm-hmm.
But the curds themselves, the fresher the better. In fact, this one place that we went to, which we'll name in a bit, they insist on getting those curds are maybe a day old.
There's like a cow in the back of the store.
Yeah. In the front of the store. You go up, you put your little box of fries under the cow.
Right.
And squeeze its cheese orifice, and the curds come straight out.
Yeah, there's like a spigot on the side of the cow.
It's a special cow.
Not many
cow.
People know that cows come with spigots for cheese.
It's a cow with a rennet gland.
Yes.
And so they put these curds, which are... it almost looks like little... little mozzarella balls.
Yeah.
And then, so you've got that on top of these hot fries, and they melt a little bit. And then in the classic poutine, they take a somewhat peppery gravy, like a brown gravy.
Yeah.
And they just slop it on there, and it melts the curds a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And as you eat it, it starts to goop together, and the flavors all mix up, and you got those hot fries, and it is just a fatty, salty, sweet, umami tart. It's all in there.
It's oh so good for you.
Oh, yeah. It's basically heart attack city.
Yeah. And then, of course, on top of that, many places will put other things on top of it, like, for example, each of us had the double pork special, which was barbecued pork and bacon.
Oh, yeah. And it was American bacon, not Canadian bacon.
Yeah, they also would have things like sausage, or this one place that we went called Smokes Poutinery.
In Toronto.
Had a nacho grande poutine. They offer all sorts of crap that you can put on top of your fries and curds and gravy.
Now, I believe, and this is leading to either audience participation or possibly a poll, that this, it's been creeping across Canada, poutine,
mm-hmm.
that at least in the Toronto area, I don't know about the rest of Canada, that you can get it at, like, you know, McDonald's, though it's not as good as, you know, the homespun or a place like Smokes.
Yeah. Like, Colton got some one day just from, like, a street cart. That had, right. Or like a, you know, like a van that was outside the Rogers Center near where we were staying, where, you know, they had, like, you know, hot dogs and sausage and poutine.
Yep. So it's a, you know, it's become a common snack food.
It's that level of cultural saturation.
Now, it would seem to be the type of thing that could just become all the rage in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it is handicapped, I believe, by its name.
Yep.
Which I did some research into.
Uh-huh.
Poutine, colloquially in French, I'm not sure if it's French-Canadian or just French-French, means like a mess, a big mess.
Mm-hmm.
Back from that, it is derived from the English word pudding.
Mm-hmm.
So like an English pudding would be, you know, kind of a big mess, usually a bunch of things and almost like a casserole.
Right,
our fans in the UK are laughing their butts off right now.
Yeah, because you called their pudding a casserole.
It's not casserole.
But you know what we mean, Brits.
Anyway, but the name, when you say it in English, it is both a little bit gross and a little bit highfalutin. Like, even though it means, you know, big sloppy mess. The fact that it's,
pile.
You know, poutine, I'm going for poutine.
Hey, give me the poutine.
The average person, you know, we have our friends out there listening in Illinois, in Iowa. You know that you would probably not order that off any menu at a bar, because you'd be like, yeah, I'm going to have give me a bud and the poutine.
At which point your friends would all call you fag.
Exactly.
Or some similar epithet. Some similar classy epithet.
So as a service to some enterprising person out there, if I weren't already, you know, if we weren't already doing all this music and video haha stuff, I would endeavor to create a chain of poutineries. But I would brand it in such a way that it would appeal to the American mindset.
The question? Like, what name can we give to poutine that would make it appeal to middle America?
It's sort of a two-way thing. It can either be, I don't think it should be, you should rename the poutine, because I feel like it would be dishonest, that it would be stealing.
That's what America's all about, is dishonesty in marketing.
Well, then change the name of pizza, you know, pizza's pizza, isn't it?
I suppose.
They could have called it, you know, circle bread, but they didn't. But it can either be it could be changing the name, but I have listed out a number of possible franchise names.
Mm-hmm.
That people can run with if you actually do this. It's sort of a Creative Commons deal. I think we should demand a menu item permanently and a good one.
Sure.
And money would be nice if it's really successful, and certainly a lifetime benefit of just being able to walk into the place and get some poutine.
Sure.
So if you don't mind, I have a few names I'd like to
go
run
to
by
town.
You, Paul. Well, this is a little bland, but Canada Fries kind of says.
Yeah, that's nobody's going to go racing out to get some Canada Fries.
Apocalypse Spuds.
That's a little doom-ish.
Yeah, it is. But if it was like an extreme,
you know, America's like explosions. So
this would be a franchise name. This next one, Gravy Davies.
That's getting a little closer.
You know, you could have a character, sort of a Ben and Jerry's kind of thing, if you're going like the hippie route, the hippies who like fatty food.
Yep.
The last two are my favorites. Greater Taters.
Yep.
Would be
that
franchise name. And
and
all of these, it would be underneath, it would say poutinery, so that, you know, it would still retain its roots. Mm-hmm. And then I think my favorite one is the last one. Monkey Fries.
There you go.
You know, it's a little crazy, and it's sort of, you know, monkey poo is in there. So maybe we can put a poll up. I don't know if anything has come
to personally, you. I think this thing stands its best chance going into mall food courts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's sort of what I think.
That's where you should have your eye on. So, so there you go. People respond to us. And now we're almost at 33 minutes or so. So I think it's as good a time as any to wrap up.
Yeah. I don't think there was a lot of fat in there besides.
No.
You know,
and if there was, you know, fuck
screw
you.
It. Yeah. You listen this long, so.
Quick review of what's going on, he said as he reaches behind him to get his laptop with our schedule on it. On May 13th, we're going to be in Dallas, Texas at the Granada Theater with Jonathan Colton. On the 14th, we're at the Belly Up Tavern in Solana Beach, California, also with Jonathan Colton. Tickets not selling hugely for that.
Yeah, that's
you know, San Diego.
Yeah.
You live right near there. It's like right outside. So, you know, step up, San Diego. The 17th of May, we're at Largo in Los Angeles, again with Jonathan. That's going to be fun. The 21st of May, which is, I believe, a Thursday, we're at Jukebox Comedy Club in Peoria, Illinois, with Dan St. Paul. And then the Saturday, the 23rd, we're at the Orpheum Theater in Galesburg, Illinois, with Dan St. Paul. Plenty of other stuff coming up. End of May, we're in Atlanta. Middle of June, we're in Edwards, New York, back to the Edwards Opera House, and a trip to Medford, Oregon in the middle of June. So all kinds of fun stuff happening.
Go to paulandstorm.com to learn more. Join the Brigade of Minions. The next 41 people will be part of the Disciples of Lore.
And
that's pretty cool. So now is a great time to join.
Yeah. Thank you, Toronto fans, for two great nights of shows. And I think that's it from my end. How are you on your end?
I just want to say that I'm Storm.
And I'm Paul.
And we've been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. I got a little red wagon.
Go do things.
Fairy rose, too slow, I eat too fast. You finish first, I make it last. As different as we are, we agree on this. You can't go wrong with our favorite dish. You call them spuds, I call them chips. You eat them straight, I like to dip. There's one thing I know for sure. When you've got the hungries, here's the best cure. Everybody loves French fries. It should come as no surprise. I think you and me can compromise. 'Cause everybody loves French fries. I love them. You don't eat fish. I don't eat meat. You eat with your fingers. I'm really neat. There's one thing I wanna say. As different as we are, I think you're A-okay. You eat them cold, I eat them hot. You're a good eater, I'm really not. We couldn't be more different than day and night. But there's one thing we both know that's just right. Everybody loves French fries. It should come as no surprise. I think you and me can compromise. 'Cause everybody loves French fries. Hey everybody, no matter where you're from, people all over the world have the same rule of thumb. With a fork or chopsticks, in a bag or on a Chinese plate, with burgers or sushi, fries taste great. People are people, and fries are fries. And just like potatoes, we all have eyes. But you and me have so much more. Heart and soul and fries galore. Come on, sit down, let's eat a little more. Everybody loves French fries. It just comes as no surprise. I think that you and me are gonna compromise. 'Cause everybody loves French fries. Yeah, I love French fries. Ooh, ooh. Yeah, everybody loves French fries. Me gusto los fries.